Wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up.
Get up.
You get out of bed this instant.
And turn it on. Glenn, Angel, and the Flying Dutchman. The Big Show on Kiss 92.
Good morning and welcome to Therapy Tuesday. And our guest for this morning is award-winning psychologist from the therapy room. The one, the only, the very pretty, the beautiful, Dr. Geraldine Tan. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Jerry. And we have Kyle with us this morning as well, sitting in for FD. And no, FD has not retired, despite all the rumors.
He is
on holiday. We've had all these messages come in. Is he okay? Where's he gone? Is he coming back? Why didn't anyone tell us he was leaving? I think we mentioned it every day before he left that he was going away on holiday.
FD will be back.
He will be back next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
So, Dr. Jerry, today we're talking about negative thoughts.
We are, and next time I'm going to ask who's going to be on and who's going to be off.
Why?
Because this was something that FD mentioned last week.
Yeah, because I think he's been having a lot of negative thoughts. I don't know why. No, I think he doesn't feel good. You know why? Because I think he injured himself, right, recently.
Oh.
So then after that, he had to use his walking stick and all that. So I think he was a little down in that sense. And also having like these negative thoughts. Will I have to wear or use this tonkat for the rest of my life, maybe?
Yeah. With that voice. Say it again. How did you do that?
Will I have to use this tonkat for the rest of my life?
Okay.
But I think he's still walking around with his
walking stick. Yeah, I saw it in
Spain.
Pictures.
In Spain.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, why are you using the walking stick on the beach though? That's asking for trouble. Because the tonkat is going to go into the sand.
He wasn't on the beach. Stop.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, all right. Anyway,
ahead,
Dr.
Please.
Jerry, please. Yes. This is your time.
It's okay. I thank goodness I didn't put any other title. I wanted to put like help. So today's title is help, I have negative thoughts. I wanted to put help, I have bad thoughts. Ah. But I deleted that because I know Glenn will jump on it, you know. If I put bad thoughts.
You know me well.
So, yeah. So I changed it. So it's negative thoughts. So yeah. You're right, you know, FD was talking about, you know, the thoughts that kind of come into his head and all these automatic thoughts, right? And you mentioned that he is injured and therefore he has these thoughts. Now, if we think about ourselves, so this is nothing to do with a clinical disorder, but it can be, but most of us have negative thoughts. So when else would we have negative thoughts? So when we are injured and then, you know, we feel a little bit helpless.
When you have relationship issues?
Relationship issues, okay.
When there's self-doubt, when you doubt yourself?
Okay, self-doubt. So when you didn't get the promotion and you feel like, you know, you doubt yourself, or imposter syndrome when you doubt yourself.
Okay, all right. We'll try and think of a few more.
Yeah, man. It's going to be interesting. Let's continue to talk to Jerry on The Big Show TV. Meantime, here's Tate McRae with Excess on Kiss 92. What other scenarios? Because usually it's like...
Rejection, yeah, I suppose.
I think you're right. Because when it's a relationship thing, there's a little bit of a heartache.
Like,
so once again, it doesn't make you feel good. And when you're feeling a little off...
When there's that niggling sensation, you know, you're like something's about to happen.
Depending on the intensity as well.
Yeah,
right?
For sure, yeah.
Oh man, we wouldn't wish that on anyone, man.
No. Kyle, you look like you're deep in thought.
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying to recall what Glenn said earlier on about Christo Tofu.
The name Christopher
was that?
In Chinese.
Oh, Curly Su Tofu.
Curly Su Tofu. Curly Su Tofu just commented here.
Says,
hey Chris, good morning. He says, when I'm in the toilet and constipated, he feels negative. From a more positive standpoint, when you're in pain,
when
you feel pain.
When injured also, like we were talking about pain.
Like Mark,
So when you're stuck, and yes, being constipated is not a very good thing. It does lead to a lot of thoughts.
Especially if you're constipated all the time. And there are many people out there who have... you see, you're laughing. I will never laugh at that.
Okay, but
there are many people who have these digestive issues.
IBS.
And it really affects them. Because they always say, right, the colon is like the brain.
It is, though.
Yeah.
It is, though.
Yeah.
You lucky.
I wasn't laughing at that. I wasn't laughing at that.
Because you need vegetables, that's why.
Yeah.
So no problems there.
No, yes. Let's not talk about bowel movements.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Dr. Jerry, carry on.
Yeah, so anything that evokes like very strong negative emotions or strong emotions, right? Whether you're sad, you're mad, you are, you know, scared, I suppose. I think I was just thinking about it, even when you are glad, when you're too happy, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there. Would we then have extreme thoughts? And I'll go into that later on. But when we have all these thoughts, right, one of the methods that we use is cognitive behavioral therapy. So the last week I said CBT, and oftentimes I say CBT and you always stop me and go, what is CBT?
Criminal breach of trust.
No.
Trust.
Cognitive trust. Behavioral therapy. We've learned.
Yes. Yeah. So Therapy Tuesday, we're not on, you know, what's that police show again?
Crime Watch.
Crime Watch.
Triple Nine.
Oh my gosh. I think I died a couple of times on 999.
Oh, you did? Oh. I was an extra on Crime Watch a long time ago. Yeah.
Crime Watch, not 999.
Crime Watch, yeah. They needed a guy in the background drinking beer. They always get me.
They wanted me to play an extra on 999.
Yeah.
I said, what's going to happen to me? And then they said, well, you know, you'll be this, what do you call
gangster?
This? Yeah, not gangster, but a criminal or whatever. Yeah. And then you end up getting caught and, you know, being wrestled to the ground. And I'm like, no, I'm a hero. Oh. I'm not going to play a role like that. Thanks. Sorry. Okay. I digress.
No, it's okay. So CBT, now no one's going to forget what CBT is, cognitive behavioral therapy. And why we use cognitive behavioral therapy is because we want to try and change thinking patterns or behavioral patterns. So we cannot change the feeling, but we can change the thinking or behavioral patterns. So today we're going to look at the thinking patterns and some of the not so useful thinking patterns.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay, so which one first?
Which one first?
Yeah. As in, you said thinking patterns and then the not so good
thinking patterns.
Just think, you know, not so good thinking. So the 10 unhelpful thinking styles.
Oh, okay.
But before we go into that, there's the ABC of CBT.
CBT, yeah.
So
what does ABC stand for?
Just the ABC, I guess. The 101,
no,
I guess.
No, it's not the 101.
It's not the 101. Okay,
the
here
basics,
we are guessing.
The basics.
It really stands for something.
Oh,
so why I wanted to also talk about it is so that we all have the same language. So it's really nice to hear the youths or the teens, you know, being able to say cognitive dissonance. And I go like, oh, you must have heard it in school. You know, you must have been taught these words in school. So now we are speaking the same language. So the ABC of CBT is antecedent, which is what happened, the antecedent situation.
I don't even know how to spell that.
A-N-T-E-C-E-D-E-N-T.
Antecedent.
Okay, antecedent. Okay.
Yes. So it's the situation that happened.
Okay, I tell you what, Jerry, sorry. We'll go on air and we'll talk about this, okay?
The ABCs, yeah.
Yeah, okay, because we've got like 15 seconds to traffic. All right, let's do the ABCs of the CBT in a while. Welcome back to The Big Show and The Big Show TV. It's Glenn, Angel and Kyle Ravin sitting in for The Flying Dutchman. And today, I have negative thoughts and we need Dr. Geraldine Tan. Because she's about to tell us about how we can use cognitive behavioral therapy. And we're just talking about the ABCs of CBT. Sorry, the ABC of CBT. So what does ABC stand for?
Yes, so A stands for antecedent, so the situation that happens. B stands for belief, so what you believe about it or your perception. And then C is the consequence, what your behavior is. Mm. So that's the ABC. So that is our frame. So something happens, and we have a certain perception about it, and we do or we behave in a certain way. Mm. So it really looks at this framework here, and we can either change our behavior or we can change our thoughts. Now, many times people say, we have no control, my thoughts are out of control, my behavior, I cannot control myself. So we're gonna try and take back a little bit of control.
Okay.
So, yes. The 10 unhelpful thinking styles. So the very first one is, you will find all of it very, very familiar. First one is labeling. Labeling yourself as stupid, as terrible, as hopeless, you know, and you just keep sticking a lot of labels. And labels is one thing that we have spoken about where we are very cautious, you know, even on Therapy Tuesdays, not to label ourselves with clinical disorders.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So Glenn loves to stick like different labels on himself, from bipolar to narcissistic personality.
Oh. Yeah. I don't think not bipolar, but narcissistic personality. For sure.
Lisa admits it.
Yes. No. I still don't think so.
Oh, you don't.
But my wife thinks I'm a narcissist.
Maybe not just what your wife. Anyway, number two.
Okay, the second one is the extreme thinking, all or nothing, very black and white. So one of the young teens yesterday, or slightly older teen yesterday, he says, if I cannot do one question, so he was trying to do math, so he said, if I cannot do one question, I cannot do math at all. But you can do the other, like, you know, 80% of the question. I mean, 80% of the paper. What do you mean? No, I cannot do. So very black and white.
Wow.
And that gets us into trouble sometimes. And we can identify, you know, with some of these unhelpful thinking styles. The next one is disqualifying the positive. That means somebody compliments you. This one, our Asians do it very well. You know, you look pretty today. No, I don't look
No, la, very ugly. Where got such thing?
Or you know, you just say that, oh, you're just trying to be, you know, you're just trying to entertain me. You're just trying to be polite, you know. So we dismiss, we're very dismissive.
Is that very similar to imposter syndrome? When someone says you've done well
syndrome.
And all that, it's the whole thing, right? Okay.
Yeah, it's a syndrome by itself. This one, we're just targeting the thoughts itself.
Okay, got it.
So the different ways that we think. And don't get me wrong, all these different unhelpful thinking styles, we have done it at one point or the other. But we want to catch ourselves so that we know what to do with it.
Okay.
Yeah. If someone compliments you, just take it.
Just say thank you very much.
Just receive it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, but then you
so
run
much.
The risk. You run the risk of someone saying, "Wow, but this guy, how lian na?" I say, good job. Then thank you.
Yeah. How lian.
Okay. Let's discuss that more because I have a question as well.
Okay. It's 8:15.
So when someone compliments you, I think there's no right or wrong with this answer. But when someone compliments you and you take it, do you have to return the compliment?
Wow, okay. That is a difficult one. Let's go back to what Carl was talking about. Mm. Like, you know, the person appears to be very haolian or arrogant.
Yeah.
I think it's the attitude that you showcase when you receive the compliment, right? So you can be like all puffed up and say, oh, thank you very much. I received it very well.
Yeah, I can chest out.
Or like a young person that I saw recently, and I was complimenting him, and he said thank you, very politically correct, you know, very diplomatic also. And I called it out. I said, you said thank you, but you didn't believe a word that I say.
Right.
And his eyes widened because it's just how he said it that I knew he didn't buy any of it.
He knew what you wanted to hear, basically.
He knew what we as a society have taught him. And he didn't receive it. So his self-esteem was still at you know, still quite low. It was a rock bottom. Yeah. It has come up, but it was still quite low.
Okay.
So I guess it's how we receive it. And when you are in these states, whether in the state that Ravin was Carl was talking, sorry, I used you.
That's okay.
The Ravin.
Pull my father in now.
Mr. Ravin.
Pull my father in.
Wrong name. Wrong name. Carl. Carl. No, it's just where my eyes went,
that's right.
It picked up on the computer. Carl was talking about, and you know, the young boy or the young teen, it doesn't matter, you know, which state you were in, but it is, then you're caught in that state. I don't think you'll be able to return anything because you are just in that self-talk. And I guess it's okay. You know, I think we give permission for that. But if, let's say, you are in a different state of mind, you're in a different condition, you might be able to return it also.
Dr. Jerry, would I be right to say that you don't dismiss the compliment, but you accept it with humility, with a level of respect, instead of dismissing it? Would that be right to say?
So if you're able to receive it with respectfully, it tells me that you also respect yourself. So you not only respect the other person, but you also respect yourself. Now, that is also part of self-esteem.
Okay.
Yeah, so when you're able to respect yourself.
But so Jerry, don't you think it's better for someone to have like a, you know, a high self-esteem rather than low self-esteem?
Mm-hmm. Right? I see Angel laughing and I go, okay.
I'm not laughing, I'm just smiling.
I mean, I don't know, right?
I think that's a balance. I think too much of anything is no good. You know what I mean? Too much and then you're like, you come off as arrogant.
Yeah.
Too little and you come off as...
But much better to come off as arrogant than feel arrogant than feel depressed.
For yourself, yes, individually.
Because, I mean, we are talking about people who, you know, as a result of... of all this that we've been talking about today, are in a lower place.
But I feel someone who is over arrogant also is trying to compensate for something that they don't have, like confidence.
So Glenn, if I came up to you and said, "Hey, man, you're a really good looking 54-year-old," what would you say?
Thank you very much, Kyle.
Yeah.
I think I'm at that place now. I mean, when I was much younger, I think I was a lot more arrogant.
But then it's not like you saying, "I know." So what you just responded, I think
that's
I would accept that because I think it's
but
it's,
over arrogant would be no. Yeah, I know.
But what is, you know, because I feel like, you know, parents these days, right? That's something that they they kind of like think about all the time. You know, how much confidence should I instill in my kid?
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, confidence is very important. I think these days, especially with the rise of social media and all that, where kids can be influenced by what they see on social media, what may be the best defense is bringing your kid up and you know, making sure that they have...
Confidence.
And
that they believe in themselves.
Exactly.
I think believing... But confidence is not arrogance.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, there's a fine line there.
There is a fine line, yes.
How you take it, how you carry yourself.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, I just feel like, you know, sometimes injecting that...
Extra
in a person, you know, may be a bit more beneficial than not.
I don't know. Mm. Dr. Jerry, what do you think?
I like what Carl said today about humility, receiving things with humility. So, you know, Angel, you mentioned about the balance, but it's so difficult to find that balance. Mm. So I suppose it's when we are able to say, I have this, this is my base, this is my foundation, but I have space to grow. And that's something I often advocate. Like, there's always a lesson to be learned. Mm. There's always something to grow into or to continue to grow. Arrogance is when we feel we are the best.
And you
and
know
there's
everything.
Nowhere else. Yeah. Nothing else to learn, nowhere else to grow. And everybody is beneath you.
See,
I'm not arrogant.
Okay, that's true. You know what I mean?
It's a different type of arrogance because I'm for being like supremely confident.
And you're not
but
against
not being
learning.
Of course
you're not against
I'm
learning.
I'm always wanting to learn,
right? Yeah.
But
which is why it's that fine line.
And if you know, if you don't know something, you will admit it. There are some people that don't know something but still say they know about it, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Jerry, sorry if this this is me digressing, but did we cover all 10?
No. We're only at number 3.
No.
We barely ever covered.
Got time.
We have time.
Yes. we make it work.
Okay. We will make it work. Yes. I think I also like what Glenn said, you know, about parents.
Thanks. Finally, Jerry. I've been talking so much.
Give him some credit today.
Glenn, oh dear, poor thing. It's like every Tuesday is an attack Glenn Tuesday. Yeah. Hey, why did I get a bell?
He just told you to keep quiet.
Oh no.
Sorry, go ahead.
Anyways.
You know I love you.
Yes, we all love you, Glenn. We just love to make fun of you too. the confidence that parents want to give or teach their children. Now, there's a lot of should statements. Should, would, must. Right? And this is another unhelpful thinking stuff. Because if the parent goes into that and the child goes into this thinking pattern that I should score a certain level, I should behave in a certain way.
Traffic. Okay, Jerry. Must...
Hang on, sorry.
Hold on. Sorry.
Now you really shut me up.
Welcome back to The Big Show and The Big Show TV. Our guest for today is Dr. Geraldine Tan, award-winning psychologist from The Therapy Room. If you need to see someone, talk to someone, Jerry and her team are available at The Therapy Room. Okay. Yeah. Now, today we're talking about negative thoughts.
Uh-huh.
We are. And we kind of like moved into a little bit of self-esteem. So I just want to pull up this book. It's called Do I Matter? Mm. It's a very shiny book.
It is.
Because it's a mirror, right?
Oh.
For you to look at yourself. Yeah.
Yes, Do I Matter? And it's a book, A Journey to Building Your Self-Esteem by the Samaritans of Singapore.
Oh, nice.
I don't know where to get it, but Gasper, who is the CEO of SOS, said that just write to him. They have stock in SOS.
Mm. Morning, Gasper. Yeah?
Good morning,
oh, my
Gasper.
Goodness.
we met
thanks.
Him. And he was in here, wasn't he?
Gasper, Gasper came in one week because we said, Gasper, come on the show.
Yes.
So, yeah, he did come in.
Mm.
Morning, Gasper.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I hope he's listening. So, yes, I did ask him whether I can show off his book. He said, yes, this was printed like 5 years ago. It's not a recent book, but it's got many, many, many wonderful tips, exercises that you can do inside.
Yeah, so you can get it at Kinokuniya, or you can go online to epigrambookshop.sg, and the book is on sale for $16.90.
Mm.
So cheap.
Wonderful.
Dr. Jerry.
It's very cheap.
It's a local book.
Mm.
Dr. Jerry, you know, I'm about to be a father. I'm going to be a father real soon.
Next
right?
month.
Yeah.
Congratulations
thank
to
you.
Kyle,
thank
by
you,
the
thank
way.
You, baby girl.
Exciting yay. Times.
Very excited. Very excited. And nice. you mentioned something that really caught my attention. You spoke about the would, the should, and the could.
Yeah.
And I really want to understand more about this because I want to be a good parent, right? Could you go into that, Dr. Jerry?
The should. So many times the should leads us to very rigid thinking. And we become very inflexible. You should behave in a certain way. Or when someone comes to our house, you must, you know, say hello, or you must do certain things.
Mm.
And what we don't realize is that the child becomes very pressured. So whilst working with children or the teens and those that are a little bit more articulate, so even like greeting, the teens will say, why should I greet? And I go, okay, what kind of question is that?
Mm.
And I will probe a little bit more and they would say, but I feel very uncomfortable. Or if I greet the person, this person will start asking me nonsense. And I don't want to start that conversation.
I don't want to have small talk.
I say, it's not that they don't want to have small talk. Mm. It's that you know, exchange might elicit a certain negative sort of encounter, and they don't want to. but they are forced to. So in their mind is, I have no way out. I'm being forced to. I must. Otherwise, I have no manners. Yeah. You know, so so it's a very fine line for the parents to try and coach them what is the appropriate behavior to navigate such a situation. Because most of the time, children are not able to tell us what's on their mind. So the parents is one-way traffic. We just tell them what to do and expect them to deliver. Yeah. So that's why, you know, we are trying to target the young ones nowadays to teach them how to share, how to communicate, so that there is more flexibility in their whole exchange also.
Yeah, it's different. It's so different now. You know, there was a time where I used to feel like, hey, these kids are these days so spoiled.
Brats,
you know, they talk back, you know, they're expressing themselves like they're little adults and all that. But I'm all for that now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in the past, I used to think like, why can't the parents discipline their kids the way my parents used to discipline me?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I'm talking, they just say, Glenn, shut up.
Correct.
And then you've got
to
just keep quiet.
Spoken to, you know?
But that's not good, you know.
No,
and that
it
really
isn't.
Is not good.
It is. And I remember reading somewhere how we should try and remove the word should from our vocabulary only because it's such an obligation. Like if you're asking for advice, oh, you should have done this, you should have, but why should you have done that? You know, it seems like it seems so permanent. It seems so you have to, have to, have to.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's kind of a word that I'm trying to remove from my vocabulary as well.
Right. Okay, let's continue to talk to Jerry on The Big Show TV. In the meantime, here's Surfaces and Jake, Don't Let Me Down on KISS 92.
You sure it's Jake?
Javake, sorry, Javake. Surfaces and Javake.
We're okay, making mistakes in names today, but it's okay. Yes, others. Okay, let's move on to the others. Catastrophizing. Something happens. And then we say something bad is going to happen. So, you know, perhaps you, I'll take an example that one of the working adults gave me. She made a mistake in a report. It's quite a significant mistake. But then after that, she was going on a spiral. Oh, because of the mistake, because of the impact that I made, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to get fired. I'm you know, everyone's going to hate me. They're going to look at me. They're going to judge me. And it was just a downhill from there. It was very hard to pick her out.
Poor thing.
That state of mind.
Not her fault though, right? Because the people around her were not reassuring her. I feel like sometimes, and that is why, you know, your support system, the people around you, you know, sometimes you can sense that someone is going through a bad patch. And your job then is to go and reassure that person and build that person's confidence a little bit, you know, so that that person doesn't feel that way. But if everyone keeps quiet and kind of like, you know, maybe they kind of like, you know, making them feel that way, not helping them out, and that's how people go into the spiral.
Yeah,
but do you think that sometimes some people over exaggerate because it means so much to them? Like, oh, I made a mistake in my work, and I'm going on lamenting about this, but only because this really means a lot to me. Do you think that it could be seen in another way, Dr. Jerry?
Okay. So I like Carl's question because many parents tend to say, this child are drama one.
Yeah.
So they say that, you know, certain people over-dramatize or are attention-seeking. Mm. And I guess it brings us back to the very first point that I made, the unhelpful thinking style. When we start labeling, then we're not giving the person an opportunity to, and ourselves an opportunity to see what the situation really is, whether it's really is dramatizing or, you know, wanting an attention.
But if it constantly happens with a particular person where they over-dramatize and everything is a catastrophe and everything is, you must do it now, it's an emergency, you know, you have to, then it becomes, then you start to minimalize what they say, right? It's almost like the boy called crying wolf.
Yeah.
Crying wolf, yes. So they are responsible for their own behavior and they will create a situation or an environment that would either, you know, embrace them or reject them. So it's still back to ourselves. So I guess when Glenn was saying, oh, the environment must come in and help them, to a certain extent, yes. and that we have a certain tolerance, but the person themselves needs to have insight, and that's what we are trying to create here, insight for ourselves.
And when right. you say we have a certain tolerance, just in reference to what Glenn was saying, we also have a certain responsibility when it comes to certain people. I mean, if this person doesn't sort of display stuff like that all the time, then it's okay to go in. But if there's a person that's constantly just in that whole catastrophizing realm of their own lives, then we can leave them alone, right? Almost.
Okay. So, well, if there is a certain type of behavior that we have observed, then it is not our responsibility to try and break that pattern. But if we see a break in the pattern, please go forward.
Okay.
Because that is something that we remind, you know, family members, friends, especially when we look at clinical disorders, there is a break in the thinking pattern. There is a break in the behavioral pattern. So we then step in and say, is everything okay? Is there something else that is going on?
So
not when there is a consistent thinking pattern or behavioral pattern, then that's for the person to go
to
and deal with
themselves. Okay.
And sometimes these people, I mean, they have one or two really close friends, and these close friends are the ones who understand them the most. You know, I mean, it may not be everyone else, because everyone else might go like, okay, this person is like, okay, way too much. I'm just going to avoid this person altogether.
But these people can also be enablers, you know.
This is true. The friends, for sure.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, so we've seen labeling all or nothing,
disqualifying the positive, and catastrophizing the should statement.
Still got eight more.
We're number four now.
Five more. should statement is also one of them.
Sorry.
And then there's men should and would.
Oh, should and would. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. You're slowing her down. No, I know.
No, it's okay. Even if we don't finish, there's always the infographs at the end of the week that we will put up.
Gasper has tuned in.
Oh, Gasper.
Morning, Gasper.
Hi, Gasper.
Good morning, Gasper. Okay.
Yes, and the mental filter. So only focusing on the negative and filtering out the positive. So you take all the bad stuff. And so sometimes when your brain is in that state, you start to read only, collect all the bad evidence instead of, you know, looking at the good and the bad.
Okay.
And there's overgeneralization. So you take one thing and then you expand it into everywhere else. Like if I fail one exam, then I fail the entire exam. So every exam, you know, I would not do well. So you overgeneralize.
Is that also the same as stereotyping? No.
Not really. I mean, they are different terminologies, but you know, in this situation, the behavioral pattern is overgeneralizing.
Okay.
Jumping to conclusion, trying to second guess, and I think we are all guilty of that at one point or another. Trying to second guess the other person. Oh, you know, Glenn's face, he's putting his hand on his chin, so he's bored.
He means
now,
something, yeah.
It's like he wants to say something to Jerry, but then he's thinking about it. Should he open his mouth? Because once he opens his mouth, he can't take back whatever's coming out of his mouth. I shall not bring up what I'm thinking of.
Sounds about right.
Okay. You can keep the thoughts for now. We'll finish with the last two, emotional reasoning. You know, So one of the examples would be if I feel hungry. So that's something that the eating disorder patients will think. If I feel hungry, I'm a glutton.
Wait, which patient is thinking about this? Sorry, you were saying?
With eating disorders.
Eating disorders.
So they have a very emotional response to a thought. And the last one is personalization. And sometimes we hear that I would use, and this, no offense if it sounds, you know, harsh to anyone, but sometimes I hear this from the clients where they would talk about their mothers and they would say, oh, if they do something wrong, the mothers would then receive it. Yala, all my fault.
Mm, yeah.
You know, so that's what the exchange would be. And the kid will go, since when I said it is your fault? Mm. But then, you know, the parent is already on that downward spiral. Yeah.
Oh, so taking it on themselves.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Okay. We're going for a traffic update. Stand by. This morning, we're talking about negative thoughts with Dr. Geraldine Tan from the Therapy Room. We've spoken about the ABC of CBT, and we just managed to complete the 10 unhelpful thinking styles, both on The Big Show and The Big Show TV. Well done, Jerry!
Yay!
Says we wouldn't be able to cover everything today?
Hey, cannot generalize, you know, bro.
That's true. Well,
don't generalize. Okay. Wrong. You should not generalize.
I should not generalize.
You could have, but you should not have.
You must not.
You must not. Yeah.
We must not.
Clearly, we are learning, Dr. Jerry.
Generalize.
And we're listening.
I can see that. Well done.
Thank you.
We always learn one. The only person who can't get it all the time is FD.
Hey.
Nothing.
No, but FD uses this as his therapy session.
He does, though.
Oh, he does?
He gets very serious. He'll be here and he'll be like...
Yeah.
And I really
there's no joking when it comes to FD.
And then he starts thinking about his life and how he could have done things differently.
Correct.
Or, you know, it's like he's very serious.
So, Dr. Jerry, FD, you're very meaningful, you know, to FD's life.
Yes.
Yeah. He's meaningful to all our lives.
Yeah.
I mean,
mine too.
If FD could see Jerry on a regular basis, he would. But because Jerry is professional, she refuses to see any one of us.
Can't.
Yeah.
She can't. It's conflict of interest.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, she knows us too well. She can't.
What, Jerry? What? You're going to see me now?
Stop crying. No, stop crying.
Jump on her couch?
Yes. I'm like, I've been wanting to jump on a couch for such a long time.
Wow.
Kyle
3 years,
to
I think.
This.
4 years. 4 years?
I'm trying to catch up. I'm catching up.
Yeah. That's it. That's all you need to know.
So I see one of our other therapists. Because I think it's very, very important, right? I mean, these days, now that I'm older, I'm wiser.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I go out with my friends drinking all the time.
Yeah.
But you know, when I've got things that I need like help with, like I want good advice.
You go to Dr. Jerry.
I'll go like, okay, no, maybe there are one or two friends who can, right? Yeah. But if I feel like none of them can, then I go and see
professional help.
One of Jerry's therapists.
Right. Yeah.
So Dr. Jerry, now that we've gone through these unhelpful thinking styles, how do we rewire ourselves then? You know, how do we move on from there? Yeah, like we've acknowledged the bad stuff. How do we move on?
Okay, so I've got the 0, 50, and 100. I think I said it before, but I'll repeat it again. So we have 0% control over our feelings. So a lot of people tell us, oh, you know, you can control your feelings, you can feel better. And I always say, how do you tell a person, stop feeling sad? Stop feeling mad. It doesn't make sense, right? Or stop feeling scared. Why are you so scared? Stop it. No.
Or having all those feelings together. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that happens. Yeah.
So you have zero control. But what we do have control, and for today, what we're talking about are thoughts. Yes, a lot of times we say that we have automatic thoughts. So that's another term again, automatic thoughts. But that only takes up 50%. So the other 50% is what we can do for ourselves or what we can tell ourselves. So you have 50% control over your thoughts. The one that you have 100% control over, if you have no other mobility issue, it would be your behavior.
Right.
You have 100% control over your behavior. So we've only touched on the cognitive part, which is the thinking styles. So already you have half the battle won.
And when you say behavior, I'm sorry, Dr. Jerry, to cut you off. When you say behavior, it's also reaction to situations, right? that you have a 100% control over?
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Like for me, it's a double mezcal shot. Which I feel like I'm in total control. Like, you know, some people say, Glenn, be careful, don't be an alcoholic. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Because I can't control it.
Depending on the, you know, severity of the situation, right? The frustration, the whatever. I know whether to take a double shot or a single shot.
Oh, maybe a happy feeling and you feel like you need one and you need one. No?
And you know what? I don't do it all the time. That's the thing, right? So, I mean, you're in trouble if every single time you have an issue, you,
of course,
you
and
reach
then you
for
drink.
The bottle.
Yeah,
or whatever,
of course,
but no.
Yeah.
For me, I know exactly when I need a double mezcal shot. Damn it, I feel like a double now.
Oh.
No, just for fun. No. Oh, as in like,
okay.
Like, you know. Sorry, Jerry. She is totally against it. I just want to tell you.
People out there using substances, I'll be very cautious. Any sort of substances, whether it is alcoholic drinks, whether it is coffee, whether it is bubble tea, whether it's your devices, any sort of substances, please use in moderation.
Yes.
Okay.
I like that one. Like,
be in control.
Yes.
It's all about control. Just don't control, you know, other people.
There was a quote in a movie. It says, "Never drink to feel better. Only drink to feel even better."
Yeah.
I like that. Huh. Yeah.
Well.
So one thing I've learned and I want to summarize is we can have feelings, but our thoughts come after those feelings. So it's really like mind over matter. You know, if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. Right? Just you
if
acknowledge
you don't
that
mind,
you feel
it doesn't matter. Nice.
Yeah. Mm. You acknowledge that feeling, but you can control the thought.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
I just want to say this very, very quickly, okay? Not that I want to be a bad influencer, but yesterday afternoon at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right, all of a sudden I felt like because, you know, I'm just recovering,
shot.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm still recovering. I wasn't very well last week, you know. So all of a sudden, I just felt like, I need something to make me feel good.
Right? Double mezcal shot.
No.
Oh.
Fried Hokkien Mee.
Oh, well done. Finally.
Fried Hokkien Mee.
After how long?
You know what? I had Fried Hokkien Mee all to myself. And I also had kueh pai tea.
Oh my goodness, you finished all of that.
I finished everything, man.
How long has it been since you've had Hokkien Mee? Like months, right? You said?
I think about 6 months.
6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
And I felt so good after that, man. So good.
I have this exact same thing weekly with nasi padang. Every week.
I haven't had nasi padang in a long time.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Anyway. We have to wrap already.
Shalini,
what's the time now?
8:45.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Jerry, thank you
final
so much.
Words?
Any last words?
I will. I will. I knew that we couldn't do a lot of the work. So the exercises in the book, Do I Matter, actually helps a lot. It tells you, I think we spoke about SMART goals last week. It is also in here. So there are many, many different exercises. And I will end with a quote that they started the book with, is by one of the psychotherapists, Virginia Satir. And the Satir model, the framework, is a very difficult model that I learned it and I don't use it, but I love what she says. I can see, hear, feel, think, say, and do. I have the tools to survive, to be close to others, to be productive, to make sense and order out of the world of people and things outside of me. I own me, and therefore I can engineer me.
Yeah.
I am me, and I am okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. Somebody needed to hear that today.
This is what I'm talking about.
Les Miserables. I am Jean Valjean. You know what that song is? So empowering.
Yeah.
Right? I'm me. This is me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Nicely done, Dr. Jerry.
Awesome. Okay, I'll see all of you next week.
Thank you, Jerry.
Cheers.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Coming up very soon, headline news and sports. Meantime, here's Selena Gomez with Hands to Myself on The Big Show.
The best of The Big Show.
Yeah.
KISS 92.